The U.S. Department of Justice closes their investigation into Utah Attorney General John Swallow. Utah's congressional delegation tries to figure out what to do about immigration reform. And the West Valley City Police Department fires one of the detectives involved in the shooting death of Danielle Willard. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Friday, September 13th. I'm Brian Grimmett. The investigation by the U.S. Department of Justice into Utah Attorney General John Swallow has apparently come to a close without any charges being filed. In a phone call with KUER, John Swallow's attorney Rod Snow confirmed that the Department of Justice called to inform him the investigation is over. He also says the DOJ will not be filing any charges against Utah's Attorney General. The federal investigation was focused on accusations that Swallow helped a St. George businessman bribe Nevada Senator Harry Reid in an attempt to get out of an FCC investigation. The DOJ would not comment on the case. Swallow says he's learned a lot from the experience and he's glad this investigation is finally over.
Hopefully people in Utah will understand that I said all along that, you know, that I hadn't done what they alleged I'd done. They were baseless allegations. And I'm glad that the Department of Justice is now at that point where they've finished their investigation, closed the file, and no charges will be filed.
But Swallow isn't done dealing with investigations. The House of Representatives, the Lieutenant Governor's Office, and the Salt Lake County District and Davis County attorneys are still involved with their own separate investigations.
I'm counting on the fact that, like with the Department of Justice, they are moving forward, if they move forward, with integrity, with fairness, and trying to do the job they need to do. And I would expect to cooperate with them all the way through whatever decision they ultimately make.
The DOJ was also investigating former Utah Attorney General Mark Shurtleff, but he told KSL News Radio that they will not be filing charges against him either. As Congress considers pressing issues like Syria, the debt limit, and the Affordable Care Act, there is some question whether the House will pass immigration legislation before the end of the year. After the Senate passed a landmark comprehensive bill in June, the House is under pressure to respond. Utah's congressional delegation came home and talked with many of their constituents about the issue over the summer. KUER's Andrea Smardon reports it's still an open question how the state's representatives will address undocumented immigrants.
Speaking before a recent town hall in Salt Lake City, Republican Congressman Chris Stewart was optimistic that the House would pass immigration legislation.
I hope, dearly hope, that the House will move. And we're doing a slightly different approach. We're doing four or five separate bills rather than one comprehensive bill. But I think there's bipartisan support for moving immigration bills this fall, and I hope we'll be able to do that.
There may be bipartisan support, but Democratic Representative Jim Matheson says it doesn't appear to be a bipartisan process. He says House leadership has announced that they will not bring a bill to the floor unless a majority of Republicans support it.
The concern I have is that in the House of Representatives, unlike in the Senate, where there was a bipartisan effort, in the House of Representatives, it seems to be taking on more of a partisan agenda, and the majority party is kind of going to go it alone. And I don't think that's a recipe for success.
The bills that have so far passed out of House committees deal with issues like border security, work visas, high-skilled workers, and E-Verify. But it remains to be seen how the House will address more than 11 million undocumented people. Republican Representative Jason Chaffetz has previously said he opposes any path to citizenship for those who arrive here illegally. But his views seem to have shifted. Here he is speaking to ABC4 Utah at a town hall in Holiday this summer.
There should be a pathway to citizenship, not a special pathway, and not no pathway, but there has to be a legal, lawful way to go through this process that works, and right now it doesn't.
Chris Stewart said at his Salt Lake City town hall that he agreed with Chaffetz, that those who are here illegally should pay a price but should have some kind of legal status. Tony Yapias of Proyecto Latino de Utah says this is a significant change.
That is probably the best news that we've heard. To hear everyone say, you know, that they're supporting or they're somehow aligning themselves, that we need to do something about it, that's good. I commend them for taking that action.
Though it's not clear to Yapias what Republicans mean when they refer to a special pathway to citizenship.
Somehow there's been this misperception out there, or that somebody decided that, you know, we're going to say that they're getting some special treatment here, therefore they're just going to get citizenship as soon as they apply, and that's not the fact.
The bill passed by the Senate would grant an expedited path to citizenship for young, undocumented immigrants. Otherwise, most eligible immigrants would be routed through an earned pathway that would take at least 13 years. A spokesperson for Republican Representative Rob Bishop told KUER that the congressman clearly does not support the Senate bill, but he would not say whether he supports a path to citizenship because the terms are so ill-defined. Congressman Matheson says he would support it so long as it ensures fairness, but he too says the policy needs to be spelled out first.
I think you got to look at specific legislation to see what they're talking about, and ultimately that is what matters, is how the bill is actually written, and we're all going to have to assess that when we see a bill.
House leadership has put immigration on the agenda for the fall, but it remains to be seen when it will come to the floor for consideration. Andrea Smartin, KUER News.
West Valley City has fired Detective Sean Cowley, the officer who shot and killed Danielle Willard last November. He'd been on administrative leave since the shooting, and the Salt Lake County District Attorney had determined that Cowley and another officer were not justified in the shooting. Cowley had argued that his life was in danger because Willard tried to back into him with her car. West Valley's new police chief, Lee Russo, told the Deseret News the termination was not related to the shooting. Instead, he said there was a pattern of conduct that led to the dismissal. Seven other officers who were part of the city's neighborhood narcotics unit have been reinstated, but the unit itself has been disbanded. Lindsay Jarvis, Cowley's attorney, called the firing cowardly and said her client was being made a scapegoat for poor management in the police department. The Salt Lake Tribune is laying off 17 full-time staffers and making changes in its top management. Editor Nancy Conway and editorial page editor Vern Anderson will retire, and publisher Dean Singleton will step down. He'll still be chairman of the board for the Trib's owner, Media News Group. A veteran Utah journalist is launching a Spanish-language newspaper in Utah. Reynaldo Escobar says the Spanish Times is filling a need for the state's Latino community after two Spanish papers operated by the Deseret News and the Salt Lake Tribune shut down in recent years. Escobar says the Spanish Times will reach out to the state's Latino community and non-Latino Spanish speakers, such as Mormon missionaries who may read it to help their language skills. Federal law enforcement officials are now enlisting the public's help to catch sex offenders. Homeland Security officials say the public can start by downloading Operation Predator to your iPhone. It's a new application the department has developed to gather tips about perpetrators of child sex abuse. KUER's Whitney Evans reports.
Operation Predator gives users a real-time notification when a sex offender anywhere in the country is evading authorities. Once a picture or recording of child sex abuse is displayed online, Homeland Security agents crop the image to capture the face of the abuser and post it on the iPhone app for the general public to see.
And what it does, it gives a photograph of them, where they're from, and it describes briefly what they have been charged with.
Tim Ballard is a special agent with Homeland Security Investigations. He says the app also allows users to quickly send a tip about suspected child sex abuse.
There is a tip line, but the public isn't necessarily knowledgeable of that tip line. It's not something that they can recall easily. Or know, who do I call? What do I do? Do I call 911? Do I call the police? Who do I tell about this specific problem? So having an app on your phone, it's just immediate. It's easy. You click on it, you send the information, and you're done.
Homeland Security officials say agents have to convince a judge the images are authentic and a crime has been committed before a picture can be posted on the app. App users will also be alerted when offenders have been arrested. Whitney Evans, KUER News.
The Women Tech Council gathered in downtown Salt Lake City yesterday to acknowledge the accomplishments of female leaders in technology industries. KUER's Nicole Nixon has this report.
The Women Tech Council provides networking and leadership opportunities to women all over the country. On Thursday, they honored women for business, academic, and leadership accomplishments. Linda Talgo is one of seven women who received awards. She was honored for excellence in leadership, and she works at eBay as the Vice President of Global Trust.
One of the things that I'm proud of is figuring out how to be a mom. I have three kids, and also a female executive in a technology field.
Ashley Dreyer was a Women Tech Award finalist. She works for Health Equity in Draper as the Chief Information and Technology Officer. She says it can sometimes be discouraging to be one of a small number of women in technology information.
A lot of times I go to events and I'm the only woman there in CIO.
She wishes more women would pursue careers in information technology.
Women do a really fantastic job at being able to talk both the technology speak and the business speak, and so I think that getting more and more women in the field would be amazing.
Significantly less women graduate college in Utah compared to other states, particularly in science, technology, engineering, and math. Last year, only 20% of Utah college graduates with STEM degrees were women. Nicole Nixon, KUER News.
Dan Nalen needs to come up with a chart for all the talented musicians who've been coming out of Provo over the last several years. It's yet another band from Provo, the Austin of the West.
There you go. It's been a pretty remarkable run they've been having in the music scene of Provo, and this is another one that has definitely got some buzz among the local music folks. This is a group called Mido. They're made up of two people that folks are probably a little familiar with. Libby Linton has been around doing solo singer-songwriter stuff for a few years now. Incredibly talented songwriter, a great knack for hooks. And then Spencer Harrison used to be a member of Fictionist, who of course has gotten a major label deal, and that's going to be coming out pretty soon, their record. Together, they've been working on this new record for 18 months. I would, I guess, put it in that electro-folk category. You know, you definitely have some icy synthesizer computerized sounds, and then you have these gorgeous harmonies between the two of them singing, and Libby's songcraft certainly comes through as well. So pretty exciting stuff, and certainly you'll be hearing more of these guys in the near future. They're playing at Velour Live Music Gallery, the oh-so-cool venue down there in Provo. That is tonight. It's the CD release party for this self-titled debut, and it's only $7. Starts at 8 o'clock down there.
Sorrow that you run from is in your mind.
And then you have an artist who is so well established that she can have an album title that's a whole sentence.
I know, yeah. Let's do this whole title. So Nico Case, who is one of my longtime favorites, she is closing down the Red Butte Garden summer concert series on Monday night. Her new record is called The Worst Things Get, The Harder I Fight, The Harder I Fight, The More I Love You. It's a mouthful. I imagine people will be abbreviating that almost immediately when they buy the record, as well they should. It is a great collection. She has members of Los Lobos on here, some guys from My Morning Jacket, the guys from Calexico down in Tucson who she always records with. People who have been listening to NPR have heard updates of her as she's recorded it over the last year or so. Really cool collection and always a great live. When you hear her voice in that live environment, it's really amazing.
And that's it for the week, or what?
We have some other goodies. Mickey Hart of the Grateful Dead is playing Friday night up in Park City Live, and I saw him bring his band to the Depot last year, and it was pretty strong. Does some Dead stuff, does some other experimental stuff. Jimmy Cliff, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, reggae legend, Sunday night at the Depot, and then also on Monday night at Kilby Court, a band called Titus Andronicus, who are a great New Jersey rock and roll band, so well worth the effort to get out there.
Dan Nalen reports on entertainment for KUER and blogs at slcene.com.
And that is your KUER News Pod for Friday, September 13th. For the latest news and updates from around the state, visit us online at KUER.org or follow us on Twitter at KUER News. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.